What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the
Stew Show.
What's up? Hope everybody's doing good. This show's going out to Scott Brovan and Matt Prey. All right, let's hook it up. We got Brad Olson in the house, a representative, maybe the starter of the Howard Street Fair down in San Francisco. How you doing, Brad?
Doing good. You can call me Santosh.
All right. Santosh Shilson's. Me and you, we've known each other for a long time.
Check.
Going through some shit myself right now, but you helped me out. You're like, you want to go to Harbor and Hot Springs.
And you'd never been before, and you're only an hour
away. I've heard so many stories about it back when I lived in San Fran. You know, so many people were like, oh, this place is spiritual. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't really know. I was just thinking, it's a hot spring with a bunch of people. I'm not really into loads of people that I don't know. So it's kind
of
weird.
Well, of course, they had a devastating fire in 2015.
We'll get to the fire part.
And it only reopened a couple months ago. So you didn't have a chance to go in the last 4 years till now.
Right. Yeah, they had to. Well, fuck, my house almost burnt down in Santa Rosa.
Different fire, though.
Yeah, but I'm so glad my house didn't burn down. Only a couple blocks away, everyone else's house is burned down.
Do you remember what Evan told us yesterday? That 70% of Lake County has burned with all these fires in the last decade? That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Tell me first, right? The most beautiful, coolest thing about Harbin.
Well, what I thought
the,
was
the different properties of it. There's a lot of cool stuff about it.
First of all, it's just a fraction of what it was. There's still a lot of foundations of buildings that had been burned out that have not been redeveloped. They did redevelop the pool area and put in an Olympic-sized pool, a couple other hot tubs, another cold pool. And it turns out that the original three, the larger wading pool and the hot and the cold pool, were not destroyed. The trees are still intact all around the original springs. But to accompany the larger amount of people that want to come there, especially on the weekends, they expanded the pool area, and there's even a Watsu pool all of itself. So the capacity for people soaking there has expanded probably fivefold.
So it's crazy. I've never been to Harbin. There's a pretty much Olympic-sized swimming pool that's cold.
Yeah.
Then there's a really, really, really warm heart-shaped pond. Then there's a small, more private one that's with the same temperature. But then there's a freezing, freaking cold, pool. And then there's a sauna. And then you go upstairs, and as soon as you go up to the original pond, as soon as I get in the pond, it's like this. No talking, and I'm not exactly sure what the sign read, but no sexual advances or something like that, because everyone's naked.
Yeah, no conversation or sexual activity.
Yeah, just chill out, freak. Is what they're telling you. But the thing that's trippy is there's so many people walking around naked.
Yeah.
And so you can't not be in clothes. You know, you have to be naked or people would look at you like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
And if you're not used to getting naked in front of a bunch of fucking people.
but I'll tell you, I've saw more bathing suits or topless and bottom bathing suit women at Harbin yesterday than I've ever seen before. It used to be 100% naked. Now it's 10 or 15% bathing suits.
What did you think of the pools that they upgraded their whole thing? We were talking yesterday kind of about how it's kind of a little RD-ish rich dork.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, we bumped into my friend Evan, who you talked to as well. He's a cool guy. He's been going there for decades, and we brought it up with him, and he was pretty put off by the development, by the expansion. He called the old Harbin Utopia. So he wasn't too excited with the changes, but acknowledged that Harbin's now become a popular place and people want to go. And when they fill up, they fill up. So to expand the capacity may not be as comfortable as it was in the old days, but hey, times are changing. And I think the big grand scheme of things will be that Harbin's going to be a lot bigger and more functional and accessible than it ever was. Plus, with the fire, it really opened up the valley. Before, you could never really see outside of the canopy of trees. Now those trees are gone, and you can see what a beautiful valley it is, including rock escarpments, trails all over the place, and then a bunch of side canyons I never knew existed until now that you can take a look around and see your surroundings a lot better.
I think one of the things I took from Harbin was like it reminded me of like a retreat.
Yeah.
Or more, I mean, for me personally, right? Like a they don't like alcohol, they don't like cigarettes, they don't like weed, they don't like nothing. They want you to breathe air, relax in the pond, and kick back, right? And like down at beyond the gate where you walk in, you know, where registration area, there's a smoking area if you're that much of a loser. But then you have to walk a fucking 10 miles or whatever to go fucking smoke anything. And so it's kind of like, it's a place to totally do healing.
Yeah.
You know? And then the minerals in the water.
Ooh.
Just everything, dude. Like, you're just totally relaxed. It's super
chill.
Well, just like everyone that was there, you don't see any weirdos. It's all people that are trying to heal.
Yeah.
So you're like in a group of people that are just trying to, I mean, the sauna. How many saunas did you do?
Oh, half a dozen. I was in there a couple times each sesh.
I did in 2 days I did 3 long saunas. But the first one we did it for the longest, and then the second day I did it as long as I could. And then I just said what I was thankful for in my head.
Yeah.
And then I counted to 100 and then I left. But I was just dripping sweat, and I don't sweat very often ever. Like, I'm not a sweater. And so then come out of that, go jump into the freezing cold pond. You're coming out of like a sauna and just jump into the cold pond. It just shocks your system.
Yeah.
And then you go right back into the medium pool, like the heart one. And it's not cold, don't get me wrong. It's warm. But then I think the jets up at the original pond were fucking awesome.
That's right. In the original pool, I think they did upgrade those jets. I don't remember it coming out that hard. But boy, you put your back or your foot or your legs or your thighs, your arms, your neck, your head up against these blowers, it's like a full-on massage.
It's like someone's working on you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not getting paid by Harbin. Trust me. We only have one sponsor today, and I'm not going to do it right now. Or maybe I should.
Go ahead.
Just to get it out of the way. Colt 45. First rule, don't run out of Colt 45. Second rule, remember rule number one.
You don't run out of Colt 45.
We just got paid. Hey!
Colt 45 was the original malt liquor, which came out by Schlitz, which in
Schlitz.
The 1950s was the number one selling beer in America. And they made the most classic business blunder of all time. They changed their formula. When you're number one, you don't change anything.
Talk about new Coke.
Well, New Coke had Classic Coke pretty much right back in rotation.
Yeah, they were like this. Don't fuck with what you got going good because exactly. You think you're going to pump it up. And it's like, dude, it's like putting asparagus on pizza. You're like, dude, pizza's fine how it is. This is what I want. I don't want that on my shit.
We talked about it in business school when I went to college at Illinois State University about what not to do when you're number one, when you have a cash cow industry and it's just bringing in money and you have the highest percentage of your market share. They changed it, and they, in a classic example of losing it all within a few years, Schlitz went from number one to done.
And bah, 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 bah.
You're out.
All right, so check it out. I'll just real quickly, I want to talk about going camping.
Yeah.
Now, I put real camping versus car camping.
Glamping.
And, like, it's weird, but I've gone a lot of camping, like, in the middle of frickin' nowhere. You're not going to see another person, whoever you're with, if that's who you're going to see.
Check.
And then there's the car camping, and sometimes they're packed in a little closer, but, like, there's places where it's like, no, you're on lot 24,
uh-huh.
And that's what you paid for,
right?
And that's what you get.
Yeah.
At Harbin Hot Springs, it's pretty much just pick anywhere, dude.
Yep.
Set up shop.
If it's open,
it's
you can
fucking
take it.
Just lay your shit down and fucking. That's pretty fucking rad, dude.
Yeah.
Let alone there's hot springs there. If I set up a frisbee golf course at Harbin, they're gonna double their fucking money a year, dude.
Wow.
But I'll have to talk to them myself about that. But here's the scoop. I want to talk about Japan.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Komonasai. Shikata ganai.
Koenichiwa.
Koenichiwa. Okay, so you... Before you wrote World Stompers, that was your first book?
I started writing it in Japan.
But that was your first book?
Yep, first book.
Yep, and how many books have you written now?
Nine.
Okay, so your first book ever in your life.
Yeah.
You're in Japan teaching English.
Yeah.
And then where did you go and where did you end up? Where was the best place you ever went and where was the worst place? But I really want to hear what you did after Japan the whole way through until you came back to the United States of America.
Right. Well, I was in Japan for 14 months total. Went there on a three-month tourist visa. Within that 3 months, got hired by NOVA, Conversational English School. And they sent me off to Korea to get my one-year work visa. And I would say the worst place I ever went was Busan, Korea, which in 1992 I thought was a veritable asshole. I think it's developed...
A shithole!
Yeah.
Sorry, it's almost caught in my throat.
That was the worst. So then when I left, I went through China for a month in December 92. That was only 2.5 years after Tiananmen Square. So it was very much under harsh communist rule. And I'll never forget when I walked across the 12-lane highway in front of the Forbidden City and looking across from the pedestrian bridge. The whole boulevard was a sea of blackheads on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bicycles are margined to one lane on the side, and it's all cars now. So China has changed very, very rapidly since I was there in 92. And then I continued on to Southeast Asia, and Indonesia stands out as
when
one
you
of
say,
the top places.
You know, get a little more specific. Slow it down a little bit.
Okay.
What do you mean, Southeast Asia? I'm like this. Yeah, I know exactly where you went. I'm like, come on, dude. Where'd you go?
So from Hong Kong, I flew to
Thailand.
But that's not Southeast Asia. That's East Asia. That's China.
But Hong Kong's a huge city, right?
It's huge, yeah. Kowloon is the most
What did you do for fun in Hong Kong?
Well, I was there at Christmas 92, and I think I met up with an English teacher that I knew, and we hung out for a few days. Just did hikes, explored the city.
what do you do when you're in a new place? You go see the highlights.
But I'm saying, what was it?
Well, Hong Kong's very mountainous, especially Hong Kong Island. So I climbed Victoria Peak, or I think I took the gondola up and then took some hiking trails down, which very dramatic because there's 40, 50-story towers in Hong Kong, but Victoria Peak is even over the top of them, and the slope is very steep. So when I was hiking down, I was looking down upon a skyscraper city. It's very unique. You never really see that anywhere you go.
Yeah.
But this is why Hong Kong is very special. And that island was developed by the Brits, where Kowloon was always Chinese. Well, they annexed Kowloon and made the Hong Kong territory. When I was there, it was still under British control. A few years later, they gave it back to China. And now China will exert total control after the 50-year agreement when the British handed it over. And that's in about 25 years from now. So the problem with all the protests right now is because the Chinese government has been extraditing people from Hong Kong, and that was forbidden under the treaty with the Brits. So Hong Kong is going through a very tumultuous time right now, and a lot of these protests are to protect those rights that the British had left with the Hong Kong people, and they're very concerned about this transition into total Chinese government. It's still a communist totalitarian state.
Yeah,
you can see why the people are a bit concerned about what's going to happen.
If I'm not mistaken, are they allowed to get on the internet?
No. Well, in Hong Kong, they still can quite freely, but in mainland China, no. And if you did any kind of search engine search for Tiananmen Square 1989 massacre, you'll come up with a big blank. So censorship is alive and well. And now they're doing the social credit scores of facial recognition. And people who have had many violations of what the state considers proper behavior in their policy, you can be denied a loan. You can be denied buying plane tickets. You can be denied leaving the country. And you can see the big brother writing is on the wall here. This is an Orwellian dystopian future for the Chinese people. And unfortunately, it is being led by some of our tech companies, including Google. So it's not too far out of the imagination that this could eventually come to America as well. So we really need to be vigilant and keep an eye on this social credit score keeping system. Very Orwellian.
Yeah, stuff is, I like it when you work hard, you make your own money, you pay your taxes, you do your own thing. If anyone's starting to get into my mix, that's when the rebellion starts.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I'm not down with people trying to tell me what to do all the time. I'm like, no, man, you can't rule me.
Right.
I'm not your slave.
Yeah.
And who are you to tell me that? And that's what makes me want to go, well, I'll kill you. Yeah, you're a bad person.
That's why over a million people turn up for these Hong Kong demonstrations, because they're very, very concerned about losing their basic human freedoms.
All right, so hold on. Let's flip the stew show. Let's get this pot stirring.
Okay.
The beef is cooking, the potatoes, the carrots. I got some other spices in there this time. It's more Cajun this time, Louisiana, man. Got shrimps in there. All right? But here's your scoop. Like, from Hong Kong, where'd you go?
Then I flew to Southeast Asia, which is Bangkok, the capital of Thailand. I went down.
Thailand. Mm-hmm. Everyone that lives in Hawaii says that's the greatest vacation spot. And people go there for like 3 months and just don't spend money at all and live in like a rad cave.
Yeah.
Up on top of this rock, and like they have their own boat. And I've just heard so many great stories about Thailand. But then I've heard also like anywhere, like in India, I've heard beautiful stories, but in the main city, what's the main city of India? Bangkok? I mean,
many cities, but New Delhi.
Yeah, New Delhi. What's the main hub
of India.
New Delhi's the capital. You got Bombay. You've got Madras. You've got Calcutta.
Crazy,
yeah, they're all mega cities. Over 10 million people.
You want to get the fuck out of there as soon as you can.
Yeah, they're huge. And very hot.
But that's where your plane's going to land, right?
I'm mistaken. I actually flew to Vietnam first before Thailand. Spent a month in Vietnam with two of my English teaching buddies from Japan.
And weren't you guys one of the
three
first,
big white guys?
Weren't you one of the first people to ever go to Vietnam after the war?
Well, independent backpackers that had been able to just travel around the country fairly freely. We had to have a travel permit with 10 destinations on it and have that destination everywhere we went. But they had not seen big, tall white guys since the Russians pulled out about a decade earlier. And they called us Linkso, which means Russian in Vietnamese. So they just weren't used to backpackers or independent Western travelers there. We were among the first. That was probably my biggest travel shock experience, where it was very different, and it has changed since then.
Pretty sweet. All right, so hold on. You go teach in Japan, make a bunch of cash.
Yeah.
So now you can go travel.
Yeah.
You have some money.
Right.
You go straight to Vietnam.
China first.
China. Then Vietnam.
Vietnam, then Thailand, then Malaysia, then Indonesia, then Australia.
What Hong Kong?
Hong Kong was part of China.
Okay. So then, let's keep it moving forward. After that, where'd you go?
Thailand to Malaysia. Malaysia to Indonesia for two months.
Hold on. This is like part of the stew show. I'm like this. What's the difference between Thailand and Malaysia in your mind?
Big difference. First of all, religion, for one. Malaysia is Muslim. Thailand is Buddhist. Thailand has never been conquered by a colonial power. Malaysia was by the British and still remains a lot of British culture there, mm-hmm. where Thailand has its original mixture between Buddhism and Hinduism, because not too far away from India. And also Angkor Wat has a lot of Hindu symbolism with Buddhism as well.
So one already sounds way better to me.
Right.
Thailand sounds like it can be really nice.
Yeah.
Where the other one, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I only spent about a week in Malaysia. But Indonesia is also Muslim, but it's not really strictly adhered to as much.
Coming as it from a surfer?
Yeah.
Is there fucking surf?
Oh, yeah,
in
Indo. Probably a few spots, yeah, on the Indian Ocean side.
That's what I thought. Right.
Yeah. I know there definitely is an Indo on the Indian Ocean side, because I went to an island called Nias. There were a lot of surfers there, including myself. Tried it out until I got a bad scratch from the coral that got infected. I'm like, I better not get back in the water. And then from Indo, I went to Australia and lived there for about 6 months.
Aussie,
traveled across
mate.
The country.
So, what was the score?
13-14, Australia.
Up in Adelaide, Australia. There we go. You know what? Just for the fuck of it, I'm going to throw another shrimp on the barbie.
Ah.
Fuck you, Americans. You uh-huh. love that saying, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
They like their rugby.
Yeah.
No, so what was Australia all about?
Australia's cool. I landed in Cairns. I got a house there with my girlfriend from England, Rocky.
Her name was Rocky.
2.5 months.
Her name was Rocky.
Yeah. Carolyn Rock.
Like the movie. Rocky.
Carolyn Rock, but everybody called her Rocky because that was her last name.
That is so hilarious, too. So who's Santa is dating you?
Rocky. Adrian. Ah. Yo, Adrian. I mean, Santa, come over here and fuck me one up the butt.
Uh-huh. Her name was Rocky.
And then I went with her. We hitchhiked all the way. Well, first we went up to Yorktown, which is way up on the Cape York Peninsula. And we also did a scuba diving trip on the Great Barrier Reef for about a week. And then we hitchhiked all the way down to Sydney.
When did you certify yourself as a scuba diver?
Well, first I got certified in Maui.
Scuba Steve!
With Tommy Poloquin, we got certified there. But then I got advanced certified in Australia on the Barrier Reef.
And and that's before it started falling apart, because the Great Barrier Reef is now falling apart.
It's being bleached with toxins in the water and warming temperatures, and people who use fertilizer is leaching off of the fields, flowing out the creeks, and is adversely affecting the coral of the barrier reef.
Sounds like the wine country and the Russian River.
Yep, same problem everywhere.
Anyway, well, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, and then we hitchhiked all the way down to Sydney, and then I had a house I was staying in for about 2 months in Sydney, working a little bit there.
How much a month?
It was free. It was under construction. My buddy just let me stay there. Yeah.
How do you get it for free?
Because it wasn't rentable yet. But he was a friend I met traveling in Europe a couple of years before, and we kept in touch. And then he's like, yeah, we're renovating this house. Not much to live in, but it had a bathroom and a place to cook and a place to just throw down our sleeping bags. This Scottish guy that I knew and I was traveling with, he let us both stay there.
Well, did I mention that free is one of my favorite words?
Yeah. Well, then it was time to move on, and I took a bus to Adelaide and then hitchhiked from East Australia all the way out to Perth, Australia. Longest hitchhike ever. And then I went on.
How many miles?
Oh, about 3,000 or more.
3,000.
And most of it was one single ride from the junction of Ayers Rock all the way out to Kalgoorlie, where I had another friend that I traveled with in Europe a couple years before.
We have one more sponsor today that we need to knock out before we keep this cool-ass show going, my friends. So hold on. Let's get to this ad.
For Guitar Center. Bucks. Make some money. Click. Musicians.
Get ready.
For the sale of the century at Guitar Center.
50% off.
Zildjian. Amps. Drumsticks. Guitar picks, all on sale.
50% off at Guitar Center.
Musicians.
All right, we're back to the show. That was great.
Who does that guy work for?
I don't know. Who does that guy work for? Oh, shit. Okay, so keep going. I'm digging this.
All right, okay. So then after Australia, I flew to Malaysia again just to get my visa for India. And then I spent 6 months in and out of India. The only time I went out was a month in Nepal and then came back in. And then I flew from Bombay to Cairo.
My friend Mark Letang
did a month
in
Egypt.
Company called, because we're in San Francisco, but he had a clothing line.
Check.
Bombay.
Yeah.
But it was spelled a little different, but... What's Bombay like? That's a big city.
Mumbai.
Right?
Yeah, it's a mega city. It's,
so it's like
slums
one of those
and high rises.
You want to get the hell out of?
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like.
Hectic, very crowded. And it's one of those places that is like many mega cities in Asia, very densely populated. High rises, some of them like slum high rises, but a lot of tin shacks, polluted rivers, just way too many people for the size of the infrastructure in which it was. So it's real kind of sad to see it go that way, because the old British old city is quite nice along the waterfront, as it is in many other cities. Like the old city is usually pretty nice. But then the surrounding slums and suburbs, they just go on and on and on for miles outside the city. So I was pretty happy to leave Bombay, only to land in another mega city, Cairo. But this time was meeting another girlfriend, Katja Manders from Holland, and she and I did Egypt together for a month. But Egypt, of course, in Cairo, you have the Great Pyramids and other features not far away from Cairo, such as Saqqara. We rode horses there one day. And then we went up the Nile to Luxor. Many sights to see around there. Down to Aswan. and then took a bus out to the Sinai, and I did some scuba diving.
Your ass won.
That's one way of pronouncing it.
Okay.
And then I went to Mount Sinai with Katja.
And that's where you do not want to take cyanide. Do not get that confused, people.
Don't do it. And then we cross over to Israel for a couple weeks and then back to Europe. And then that 3-year trip was over.
Fucking pretty awesome, bro. I must admit.
Yeah, the early 90s were... It was a good decade for me.
But it's weird. It's like...
And then when I got back, I started the Triple C.
You started teaching Japan.
Yeah.
Or teaching English, excuse me.
Yeah.
Teaching English in Japan. You didn't have this all planned out in your head.
Well, a little bit. I knew that once I was able to make money and save money, I could do a long extended trip. That's what I learned when I was traveling around Europe for the first time, backpacking right after college. Right. Australians and Kiwis,
this is
like...
for anyone that travels the world, and you've been around to a lot of places, and I'm like this. You already kind of told us your worst, you know, you
place.
Didn't like
yeah.
the place in China.
No, Busan, South Korea.
Oh, Korea. Okay,
yeah.
right. Korea, excuse me. Your favorite place that you've ever been and the worst place you've ever been.
Well, I
Real
said
quick.
Busan was worst.
Yep.
But best is, it's too subjective. I mean, what? Best beach, best ruins,
best
culture.
Best time you've had.
In a country?
Like, well, for you. You're like,
yeah.
Well, the best one was.
Well, when I met Paul and Carlo and Jovis in India, and we were going to parties in Goa, India, and then we went down to these ruins called Hampi in India and did a party there. That was really awesome. Then that led to us all coming back to the States and getting the CCC warehouse for 6 years, 2 months, and a week.
I love Paul, and he sees more than anyone. I love Carlo. Good for that kid for being who he is. He's a soldier. Who else?
Jovis. Yeah, well, all four of us met in India.
Jovi.
Yeah.
So the four of you guys were hanging out for
and
a while.
Then the four of us started the CCC.
Was Sonny with Paul at the time?
Not yet, no. He met her a year after CCC.
Oh.
Went back to
okay,
India
okay.
and met her.
Okay. Well, that's freaking pretty awesome.
Yeah. So it all kind of directly led into the life I live now because I still produce the How Weird Street Fear, and that's a direct outcropping of the CCC, which was a direct result of the four of us meeting in Goa, India.
So, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Some of it pertains to Santa Cruz.
All right.
Are you already working on the San Francisco Howard Street Fair for the next year?
Yeah, I am. It's already underway, and it looks like the date is going to be May 3rd because the Giants have just released their tentative schedule, which usually holds.
Right. And so I'm hoping to get in on it and help out. And
yeah.
Be part of it. What's up with the Santa Cruz?
Well, that'll be
Street Fair?
A year from now, a year and a week in September next year, 2020. Looks like we're have been approved to do that event. So okay. Expand the franchise.
Moving on down to the cruise, people.
Uh-huh.
It's a surf town. It's
yeah.
my town.
It is.
That's why I get to be part of this one. Alright, anyway. Your thoughts on Burning Man in 2019. We started the trance dance there. They didn't like it when we set up shop. They were like, your music, that whole thing, you're not doing that here at our festival.
Right.
And now, there's nothing but our style of music there at their festival. What's up with that?
I didn't go this year. I can't
no,
give
I'm
you
saying,
a direct story.
I don't care about this. I'm saying, what do you think about Burning Man now?
Well, it's like Harbin going through their expansion. There comes a time when a lot of people want to enjoy what you do. And, I mean, we had to do this with CCC. We couldn't have everybody pack into that little warehouse. So what did we do? We started the street fair, and then we could expand it as people wanted to enjoy it. So I understand what Burning Man and Harbin are going through as far as growing pains and people reminiscing that it's never going to be the same. Well, it never can be the same because way too many people know about it now and want to enjoy it. Good things always happen that way.
I'd never go to Burning Man ever again because I was there when there wasn't cops.
And well, there's a lot of cops now.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm over Burning Man.
Yeah, so am I. So am I.
But anyways, all right, ready? Our fathers were friends, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't even born, and you were, like, little. You were probably, like, one or two when my dad and your dad were friends. They did the Jimmy Tour, and that was, like...
The original.
Jimmy Page, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, a really, really young Jim Gaffigan hosted, and it was sponsored by, like, Jimmy Dean sausages.
Yeah. That was the original Jimmy Tour.
Shitload of money. I know Morrison wasn't... He was just doing spoken word poetry.
Uh-huh.
But, like, then, for some reason, because of our dads, me and you started a company, and, like, we did the Crow Tour, which was, like, the Black Crows, Counting Crows, Sheryl Crow, Old Crow, the Whiskey was our sponsor.
Yeah. Cameron Crowe was the MC.
Cameron Crowe was MCing the whole show.
Yeah.
The Crow Tour, we made a shitload
of money.
That
was successful.
Our second tour, we also made a lot of money. The Food Tour.
Oh, the Food Tour did great. We had the Cranberries, Smashing Pumpkins.
Lemonheads.
Yeah. So many food band names. And then, of course, sponsored by...
Meatloaf showed up and was... Chewing up, he did a small set, but like we had a lot of food tour guys out there that meant us money.
Yeah.
Then we did our third one, which made the most, the Billy Tour.
Well, because everybody loves Billy Joel, Billy Idol, and Billy Squire.
Oh, dude, the Billy Tour.
Sponsored by Billy Beer.
Sponsored by fucking Billy Beer. We got it come out of the archives. Fucking Carter's Brothers beer, that was cool.
Uh-huh.
But then we lost a lot of money on one tour.
Uh-huh.
Which kinda I didn't think we would. I thought it would do great. The Lee Tour.
Lee Tour didn't do that well. Well, it was John Lee Hooker, he was getting pretty old. You had David Lee Roth and he didn't
David
have
Lee
Van
Roth,
Halen.
But yeah, I guess people were kinda not into Lee Roth at that time.
Lee jeans were out of style by then.
That was our sponsor.
Yeah.
Lee jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's the only Lee we could find. And it was like David Lee, the politician, was the MC, but he kind of already was falling out of fame. And David Lee Templeman moved to Vermont.
I know. David Lee Templeman was supposed to
So the Lee
really
Tour didn't do that well.
I don't know how he was doing on the harmonica that day, but like I think it was broken or something.
Yeah.
It just wasn't coming through the mics. And
no.
Just,
we thought David Lee Roth, our headliner, would kill it, but he was pretty wasted and forgot the lyrics.
Beer sales failed.
Yeah. Nobody drinks Billy beer anymore. That one failed.
No, no, the Billy Tour we did good.
The Billy Tour we did good,
no,
but
Lee Tour
yeah, failed,
Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, it
all
was
right.
Like,
ugh. Oh, well.
Anyway. Well,
life goes on.
You guys, we love you. And I hope you love this episode of the Steve Show.
Steve Show.
Guys, remember the old school days.
Better go back to grunge.
No, I don't have a gun. No, I don't have a gun. No, I don't.
him. Now music's gone to rap.
Next time.
Everybody loves rap now.
Next time.